Right now, it is time for Brian Ross to join us with Real News. Brian joins us on a Thursday morning, and we take a look at news stories in and around the world. Good morning, Brian. How are you this morning?
Once again, I'll tell you.
It's, you know, I say this over and over. I watch video clips. We're having a big fundraiser, by the way, in the Tri-State region on Saturday at ReFarm in Millerton for Ukraine, where all the funds, 100% raised, go to benefit two different charities that are serving Ukraine. And you can go to our Facebook page and see the links. But it's a big fundraiser. It runs from 12 to 3:30, and more information can be found there. Now, I watch links because some people have given me some places I can go to see footage that is actually posted on the internet by people from Ukraine and Russians. And what strikes me, Brian, is that it's just unbelievable to see a children's maternity hospital bombed. To see the civilians being killed like they're being killed, to see the Ukrainian soldiers being killed like they're being killed. But it also, I've seen some of the pictures of the Russian soldiers. These are kids. These are kids.
Yeah.
And these are kids that speak the same language as the people they're killing. And it's just heartbreaking. And I don't think in the world order, except for a few countries, Russia will ever recover from this while Vladimir Putin or anybody that supported this is alive.
I don't think he can stay in power, and Russia won't recover as long as he's in power. And I think there are serious questions about war crimes. And, of course, one thing, the more we pile on like that against him, the less incentive he has to stop what he's doing.
It's just one of those situations, and you know it's a powder keg, even though they're at war now. You know it's a powder keg because, obviously, the NATO allies are looking at this, and all the bordering countries are looking at this and saying, unless it's stopped here, it's going to continue. So we're not anywhere near out of the woods as a world about this.
Not in the least, and I think, you know, the first order of business is how does this end? And, you know, it does not end well because even with all the troops he has, it's not enough, obviously, to quell what's happening in Ukraine. He cannot overtake this country as he wanted. You've already seen an offer. If he could have just three territories, he would leave. Well, they're not going to give him three territories. I think they're going to push back, and there's no clear end in sight. And the Ukrainians, by their will, their determination, their bravery, you know, have inspired the world to stand up to this bully.
And we sit here and we look at this and we look back at history, and maybe this will be the conflict, I doubt it, that just shows you as a superpower or a nuclear power, you know, whether you're China, whether you're Russia, whether you're the United States, there's just no way you can step into a country and force regime change without thousands of people dying, without years and years of war. You know, when are countries going to learn this lesson?
Well, yes, but, you know, this would not happen. A democratic country would not be doing a land grab like this. Yeah. Only a dictator can pull off this sort of operation, quell his people, fashion and tailor the information they're getting to make them think they're doing something right. I see reports this morning the death toll is huge now, up to 6,000-7,000 Russian soldiers, which would be the greater than the number of Americans killed in both Iraq and Afghanistan. It's true.
And like I said, even though Russia has tried to shut down the internet with Starlink, Elon Musk's company opening up Starlink so it can be used in Ukraine, these videos are getting out. And the saddest video I saw was the Russian who was living in Ukraine, speaking to his father in Russia, explaining what was happening, and the father in Russia did not believe it. He did not believe it.
Well, that's the power of information and the power of the ability to, you know, prevail with the disinformation. And I think that hats off to the Biden administration for putting out the word early and often. And now this latest warning that came out of the White House yesterday, stand by for him perhaps to use chemical weapons, which would be a disaster, and, you know, just amplifies the nature of the war crimes he's been committing.
Well, we'll move away from Ukraine. I hate to, but we have to because there's other things. We got our first another conviction in the January 6th trial, but then, and this is once again the Republican National Committee now is suing the January 6th subcommittee to block subpoenas of their Salesforce records. I mean, you know, we've got some serious problems of our own in Washington.
Well, without a doubt, and you know, this is not a political discourse that took place there at the Republicans, but like us all to believe, apparently, talk about disinformation. And this January 6th committee has made progress, but they still aren't close to a final report, and they still haven't held the hearings and the public sort of airing of the information they have so far, and I think they need to do that soon.
Yeah, because the longer they wait, the farther away it gets from the memories and minds of people, and then you say the information flow continues from both sides, and people get disconnected from it. So there's that, and then there's how do you think we are handling? I thank goodness that we have a president in power that respects Europe and respects the NATO alliance. How do you think Joe Biden is handling? I mean, there's some hiccups like Poland and everything like this, but I think the administration is doing a pretty good job sitting on top of a powder keg and trying to keep it from blowing up.
Right, and even I don't think Poland was so much a hiccup. I mean, do you really want to be basing fighters that go in to fight the Russian jets from U.S. air bases in Germany? I don't think you want to do that. And apparently there are no places where they can't find a place that would necessarily be safe inside Ukraine. I don't think the U.S. is opposed to the jet fighters being loaned to Ukraine. It's just they cannot base and sortie out of an American airspace because that puts us right in the middle of it, and we do not want, I think President Biden has done a masterful job of keeping us from going direct toe-to-toe with Russia, because that's where the people that do these tabletop exercises see it going quickly into a nuclear, and that's what nobody wants.
In this country, I mean, we've got the Supreme Court nomination that is going to go forward, and there will be a fight on it, but the Democrats do have the votes in the Senate to get it through. But once again, this should be something that just flies right through and shouldn't require anything else, because this person was...
And I agree. You know, I don't even understand the Republican strategy there. Since it's going to go through, why do they want to pick a fight with a eminently qualified woman who absolutely has all the qualifications to be on the court, notwithstanding their efforts to try to get her law school test scores made public? I don't know what that's all about. It's just meant to embarrass or humiliate her, I guess. I don't think she can be embarrassed and shouldn't be. But again, the Republican strategy, I mean, so-called, they've got these sharp minds. I don't see it. I don't see them being that sharp and trying to oppose her and trying to kick up a fuss there. I mean, that's not going to happen. They should face the reality of it. And the same thing with their attacks on the January 6th investigation. In both cases, I think they're fighting a losing battle there, and they have picked the wrong spot.
And also, a lot of Republicans voted for this person where she got her seat in the first place, her judgeship in
right,
the first place.
Exactly. At least three did, yes. And Graham now says, Lindsey Graham from South Carolina says he probably won't, but other Republicans have signed on. So I think that's going to go through, and that's, you know, thank goodness for that. Every time you look at some of those elderly Democratic senators and you wonder about their health, you know, one heart attack away or one sort of, bad fall away from Democrats losing control of the Senate.
All right. And, when you look at the investigative side of this, how do you think the networks are doing in covering this? I watch a little bit of CNN, but like I said, now I got a couple of different websites where I can get actual raw video footage out of what's coming out of Ukraine. How do you think the networks are covering this?
Well, this is a reminder that what CNN does well and does best is this. When it comes to a very big international news story, I think they're unsurpassed, and the ratings that I've seen so far suggest that the viewers think the same thing, that others are not doing the kind of in-depth coverage with the bench strength that CNN brings to something like this. And as you've probably read, there's going to be a new boss at CNN who, strangely enough, was the executive producer of the Stephen Colbert Show, but he is highly regarded and has indicated already he's going to steer the network more away from opinion, that used to be sort of their evening programming, and closer to hard news, which I think everyone would appreciate. And so this is their time to shine, and frankly, I think CNN has done a superb job.
All right, Brian, it's always great to chat with you on a Thursday morning. Have a great week, and we'll speak to you
next
week.
All right, stay warm. Talk next week.
All right, take care. Brian Ross and Real News here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio. And you can find Real News at robinhoodradio.com. Click on Demand. Click on Real News with Brian Ross.